Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see all of you this morning on the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. And we're so glad that you're with us today as we gather to worship the Lord in this place and experience God's presence and to learn grow in our faith. And we're going to be continuing our series on living courageously in uncertain times. And we'll be talking about that a little bit there later on. But as we begin today, let's stand, if you are able, and join and sing our Gloria Patria. Let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletins. The heavens are telling the glory of God. God's wisdom is written in the stars. When we see God's glory in the clouds or hear them in the symphonies of the birds, well, let's join together and do that this morning. If you'd like to turn your hymn book, it's hymn number 4, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Or you can follow along on the PowerPoint as we sing the 4 verses this morning. Join together there for our opening prayer in the bulletin. Oh God, we long for you, for your love, for your wisdom, for your grace. We long for the words of your mouth when we cannot find our own. We long for the courage to speak and sing your blessings, and may our mouths proclaim your praise. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And we're going to go to our next hymn, hymn number 46 there. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing And you can follow along as we sing all five verses there. Oh, for a thousand tongues to say, my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace. My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through the name that charms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease. 'Tis music in the sinner's ear, 'tis life and health and peace. He breaks the power of canceled sin, He sets the prisoner free, He makes the His praise he done, you loosened tongues employ. Ye blind, behold your Savior come, and leap ye lame for joy. Well, I'm going to invite our kids, if they would make their way down this morning.
How's it going? Good, good. Should we do our push and pull thing again?
No.
Oh, you don't want to do that? Last Sunday, were you in the middle? Yeah, so he was in the middle, and his cousin, and we were pulling and pushing and pulling and pushing Garrett back and forth. He was going, because we were talking about hope and fear. And how sometimes in life, it kind of teeter-totters back and forth. They don't have teeter-totters at school anymore, do they? Do they? Okay, I didn't think they do anymore. I think they were afraid that kids would get hurt on them. We had when we were growing up. And we would push and make somebody go up real fast, and they'd get a little scared and go, yeah. It's kind of like the pulling and pushing back and forth. Sometimes it's like that. Well, today, we're going a little bit different step, and we're talking about the push and pull of faith and fear. Faith and fear. So we're going to talk a little bit about faith, which means trusting God, when sometimes we're scared. Do you ever get scared?
Yes.
How many of you love lightning storms? Oh, you do? Okay. How about, have you ever been outside when maybe a mouse was running by? Or you saw a snake?
Oh, we saw a snake.
Did you try to pick it up?
No, it was dead.
Oh, it was dead. Okay. I do not like snakes. So usually when I see them, I don't want to be around. And when I used to go up and mow my grandma and grandpa's yard with a riding lawnmower, I would turn and go towards them and try to. Well, no. Yeah. Well, there are some that have snakes as pets. Some kids love to hold them. Do you know that at one time there was a Miami East elementary teacher who had a yellow-looking snake in a thing in her room? I would have not liked to have been in that room. Yeah, she's retired now, and so there's no snakes in the rooms anymore. Yeah, but so sometimes we have to trust God. When we're afraid or scared, that God is with us. And so sometimes, I'm scared. oh no, God, help me, God, help me. Ah, I don't like this. Ah, God, help me, God. You see, that's that push, that teeter-totter, that push and pull of between faith and fear. What? Yes, that is true. Sometimes snakes can be poisonous. Yes, there are spiders too. How many of you love to have spiders crawling on you? You do? Ah, come on. Ah, now, daddy long legs. You ever seen the daddy long legs? They got those teeny legs that are real long. And they come, they just won't even bother. I used to let them crawl up. How many of you ever let the woolly worms crawl on you? Remember what the woolly worms are?
No.
I know we don't see them as much as we used to. No, they're not. They're little fuzzy things. They're real soft. You can pet them. Sometimes they're yellow. Sometimes they're orange. Sometimes they're like almost black or brown.
I saw one.
Yeah. So see, they're nice. They won't bother you. So sometimes there's things we're afraid of, and then sometimes there's things we're not. But so you saw them in the driveway, yeah. Well, no, you're not supposed to stop on them. They're woolly worms. They're nice and friendly, and yeah. And they let us know if we're going to have a bad winter or a mild winter. They do. You have to ask your parents about that, because it has to do with the color of them. And I cannot remember which it is. If they're lighter, it means one thing. If they're darker, it means something else. Yeah. But just remember, we always face that. Even as adults, sometimes we worry and get anxious and afraid as adults. But we still trust God. Just like I was talking to you about trusting God and praying that God will be with us. Hold on. Okay, let me finish up. Because you guys got to be downstairs. That sometimes we get scared, but that's all right. We can say, thank you, God, that you're with me, no matter what, okay? All right, you can go on downstairs this morning. I know, I talked about a lot of things that they wanted to talk about.
Snakes, woolly worms, all kinds of stuff. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning before we go to prayer. Real quickly, and I did forget an announcement that I wanted to share after she started playing, I had forgotten. The Bill Shively family just wanted to say thank you for everything that the church had done for them during their time of loss. And so they wanted to say thank you. And I wanted to share that with you, and I'll probably put it up on the board there downstairs later. So, okay, joys or concerns this morning before we get going. Somebody. Yes. Yes. Yep, she passed the kidney stone before she was supposed to have it taken care of, and thank God for that. Wow.
And Jim Cabal, Jean's son, he wrote a neat prayer. And of course, after we got a concurrence on the prayer, Ethan Day is Sandy Christian's grandson, and he has
No, what was the name?
Easton.
Ethan?
Easton.
Easton, okay.
Yeah. And then Barnes had Dalton and Hunter both. There are two boys on the tour. One had an injury from playing football, and the other had a broken thumb.
Okay, so Hunter and who? Did you say Brock? Oh, Dalton. Oh, wow. I just saw Dalton on the other day. It's cool. Okay. Anybody else? I didn't catch. Is it they prefer not to say what's going on with Jim?
Oh, it was his heart. Okay, thank you. That's all I need to know. So we want to keep Jim in our prayer. I've got several. Yes, go ahead, Carol.
Unspoken.
Somebody else. Yep.
Unspoken.
Okay.
I think we need to pray for Ray.
Yes. I know. You know what? I was thinking about that this morning. Why have we not been praying for rain the past several weeks? Because they're saying, again, no rain in sight this week. So we definitely need to. And also, with that, please keep our farmers in our prayers for protection. Because with how dry it is, it's just a lot scarier with that dust and dryness and running those combines. And yes, that sometimes fires can happen. And definitely want to keep them as harvest will probably be beginning here. Some have already started, and probably over the next few weeks, it'll get greater. So, somebody else. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we want to remember Susan and Rodney's wife with the swelling that she's been having, and praying for God's touch for her. Anybody else this morning? Anybody else? Yes. Okay.
Unspoken.
And I can think of another unspoken need there for my sister, Kathy. Appreciate your prayers for her. And anybody else this morning? All right. So we got several there. And that we can lift up to the Lord, and maybe as she plays, there'll be some names that will come to you, and encourage you to lift those up, and then I'll close us out in prayer. We are grateful for the beauty of the earth and all the glories of the sky and everything that you have provided. Lord, I love this time and season in the fall. But Lord, it has just been so hot and dry, and we are in desperate need of rain. So we ask that you would just send your mercy, send your raindrops of mercy that we need so much. And send the rain for that we can refresh the land and water our crops and settle the dust and so many things. And so we ask that you would do that for us, Lord. And we're grateful and thankful in other places, not only for here and around here, but other places in our country, Lord, where drought is setting in and it's getting worse. And we just pray that for that. And Lord, we also lift up some of the other needs today that have been mentioned. We lift up Jim for regarding his heart. We're asking for your healing touch and your grace there. For Esther, Lord, for continued healing in those areas in her brain and her abilities, Lord, to speak and recall and convey what she's wanting to say. We pray for Easton today, Lord, that your healing touch will be with him. We lift up Hunter and Dalton today for your healing touch for each of them. And Lord, we pray for Susan, Lord, with this swelling, God. Lord, you know what's going on there exactly. We just ask for your healing touch for her and your grace for her today. And Lord, we lift up our farmers, Lord, that are starting to begin to get into the field and harvest, and more in the next weeks and months ahead, that you'll just be with them, watch over them and protect them and keep them safe, we pray. And we're grateful and thankful for that. Lord, we lift up the James family, Lord. I didn't mention that earlier, but with the loss of Richard's brother, God, we just ask for your peace and your comfort and your touch to be with them today and with the loss of that husband. And we just pray that your hand will be there with them today. Lord, we lift up these four unspoken needs that have been mentioned. And maybe there's others today that are here that could not share and mention maybe some pressing need or something in their life today, or maybe for somebody else. God, we just lift those needs up to you today and ask your touch upon each of them as only you can do. Lord, we pray that your healing hand will be in situations and your grace will be extended in so many different ways. And we thank you for that. We ask that you'd watch over our young people this afternoon as they gather for that swimming party. May you just make that a blessing and a grateful time. We pray for those, our folks that'll be traveling to Kester and Garbury Ridge to sing, that you'll be with them. I'm thinking of one of our families that's traveled to go camping this weekend, Lord, that you will be with them and watch over them and bring them back safely, Lord, and help them to have a refreshing time. And Lord, thank you for all of these things. And Lord, we ask your blessing upon the rest of this service as we continue our series talking about facing uncertain times and living courageously in the midst of all of those things, as we face the giants of fear and worry and doubt and anxiety and just so many different things, that you will just add your blessing, and may your hand be extended and your grace go forth. And as we hear your word, may it encourage our hearts and build faith in our lives, Lord, to live courageously. And we thank you for all of these things now as we ask them in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And thank you so much for your faithfulness and the blessings as God has blessed us, that we can participate in kingdom work in our world and in our community. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give today. Well, let's join together there for our prayer of dedication. Loving God, we bring what we have to offer you in loyalty and love. Sorry. Bless all our gifts and choose to share your love for Christ's sake. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry about that. I think my mind is ahead on what's going on next. So, well, our scripture reading this morning is coming from Numbers this morning. Again, Numbers, we're going to read a few of the verses, three of the verses that we touched on at the end last week, and then go into chapter 14, the first 11 verses there for today. So let's begin there, Numbers 13:30 through 14:11. Caleb urged the people as they stood before Moses, "Let us go up at once and take possession of it," he said, "for we are well able to do it." But the others who had scouted with him protested, "We can't attack these people. They're too strong for us." So out of fear, they spread false reports about the land that they had explored and said, "The land that we scouted is a country that consumes its inhabitants. And all the people we saw there were huge. We saw giants there, the descendants of the Anakim, a whole race of giants. And we felt like mere grasshoppers. And so we must have seen to them." At this, the whole community broke out in loud cries. And even in the night, the people wailed. The Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "If only we had died in Egypt or in the desert, why should Yahweh bring us into this land only to fall dead in battle and leave our spouses and children to become spoils of war? The best thing we can do is return to Egypt." And they talked among themselves of choosing a leader to take them back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron threw themselves face down on the ground before the whole Israelite community gathered there. Joshua ben Nun and Caleb ben Jephunneh, members of the scouting team, tore their clothes and told the whole Israelite community gathered there, "The land we passed through and scouted is extremely good land. If Yahweh is pleased with us, we will be led into it and it will be given to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. But do not rebel against Yahweh and have no fear of the people of that land, for we will swallow them up. They are no longer protected, for God is with us. Don't be afraid of them." The whole community was thinking about stoning them when the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. Yahweh said to Moses, listen to this, "How long will these people show only contempt towards me? How long will they fall or fail to believe in me despite all the miraculous signs I give them?" That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen. And amen. Well, you know, I like to share something funny, and this is just a short little thing here, but I thought it was kind of funny. Long ago, when men cursed and beat the ground with sticks, it was called witchcraft. Today, it's called golf. I want to talk to you again about living courageously in uncertain times. Last week, we talked about the pull and push of hope and fear. Today, we're going to talk about the push and pull of faith and fear. Now, I'm sure that all of you here are aware of the warning etched, if you're driving, in this rear view mirror over here. What does it say? Objects in the mirror are closer than they appear. Yes, or sometimes a little bit different terminology there. In other words, when you look out there, what you see in there appears closer and bigger than is true. Now, think about that for a moment. That's kind of a helpful warning, but also the way they set that up, it's very helpful when we're making lane changes, when we're backing up, or we're getting ready to pull over somewhere. Because when it looks closer and bigger, we're more cautious about whether we get over or not, and it extends out some distance between us there. Well, when we think about that, we need to remember that if we don't understand that, the obstacles will appear like giants. And maybe we will appear like grasshoppers. Last week, if you missed last week's message that I began this series, you can pick it up and go on the website and listen to it there by going into the sermon sections and clicking it on there and listening to it. It helps to set the pace of what we're talking about through this series. And if you remember, I kind of left it hanging a little bit about where we were in the story. Just a mile shy of the promised land. If you remember, there was two reports. 12 scouts went out and explored the land of promise. God told Moses to send them out and let them go. And Joshua and Caleb were two of them. And then there were 10 others that were not told about their names. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, it is a land flowing, that we read at the beginning, with milk and honey. And it is wonderful. And there's grapes so huge that we had to use a pole to carry the cluster of grapes around. And Caleb said, we can take this because God is with us and God has promised to give us this land. But the other 10 came back with a negative report and said, those giants are huge. They're so big that we are like little grasshoppers. And they were scared. Well, today, as we read a little further into chapter 14, we found out how scared they were. They were so scared and afraid, in spite of what Caleb and probably Joshua said, that they started spreading rumors. That is the power of fear, if we're not careful. And fear can spread quickly. And what happens is it'll begin to affect us in different ways. And we're going to look at that this morning. So let's begin by talking about our first thing I want you to see here and our very first word that you're going to fill in if you have the sermon outline. And that is paralyzed just shy of the promised land. Do you know that our fears can keep us from God's best in our lives? Only a mile. Think about that. They let the fear grip their hearts so strongly that they wanted to go all the way back to Egypt and be in slavery again. Think about that for a minute. As I was rereading this, and it's been years since I've really studied this passage, but when I started working on this in the last few weeks, I started thinking, oh my gosh, how did they allow that to happen so easily to them? And guess what? If you go through and read further, we are told that that generation of Israelites missed the promised land. God would not allow them to go in because of their fears. Just a mile shy. Could you imagine? You were 10 steps from getting on that plane and flying to Hawaii to see the beautiful islands and everything involved. And you said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. Let me tell you a true story. You all know this. Jody and I flew to Hawaii in 2005, and we got married there. I had just started at the church that year. And in the back of my head, as I was talking to Jody, most of you don't know this, we were having this conversation, and I thought, this is going to cost too much. How are we going to do this? How is this all going to work out? And Jody looked at me, and she said, it'll all work out. Don't worry about it. Guess what? It all worked out, and it was all taken care of. Sometimes it's just that close. Why? Because fears, if we let them take root, will cause us to make bad decisions or fearful decisions, decisions out of fear. And so they trusted the negative report over the other. Can you recall a critical time in your life when you were stuck in the mire of fear? I don't know where you're at. You never know. Perhaps you are familiar with the acronym FEAR. You can see it if you have the PowerPoint. I'll bust it up here real quick. Look at it. False events appearing real. Now, there were probably some kind of bigger people in the land in that day that they were facing. There's no doubt that there were all those groups that we talked about, the Malachites and the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Canaanites. I mean, we looked at them or we mentioned them in the reading last Sunday. But the thing about fear is it works in unique ways. And this is one of the ways it does. Fear, or people propagating fear, their whole point is to get us worrying about something and become fearful about that thing that may never happen. That's why it says false events appearing real. How many times have I conjured up into my head something about something that could happen before it even happened? And then fear keeps us from going forward because of that. Remember, giants often appear closer, bigger, and badder than what they really are. But what about the giants? What about the giants we face? We all face them. What do we do? Staring down our giants. Part of life is facing our giants. You know what I mean? How many of you remember, not too long, now maybe some of you could not wait to get out of school and do whatever you were going to do. I couldn't wait. When I was growing up, I mean junior high, high school, I couldn't wait till I graduated from high school. And then I got into college. And you know, you enjoy high school, you enjoy college, but there's that part of you that, I can't wait till I get this done. I can get out there and get in the real world. And then you get into the real world and you have real world problems and real world money issues and real world this and this adult decisions. And you're like, I want to go back to high school. I want to go back to college and just stay there a little bit. When I was working on my master's, a couple of my brothers and sisters were teasing me. And they said, were you going to be a lifelong college student? No, I'm not going to be a lifelong college student. But I mean, there are those things that we have to face in life. And sometimes we don't like facing them. Look at any successful person, however you define success, and you'll find someone who has had to face their share of giants. We see them sometimes, listen to me, sometimes we see people on social media, and what do we post on social media? Yes, all our happy events and smiling things, and our grandkids and our kids and, you know, this and that. We don't post all of the other things, our fears and anxieties and worries and all of those kind of things on there. And we get this idea sometimes in our head that, oh my gosh, they don't have any problems. Yes, we do. We all have problems. And at times we probably all felt like turning back. Did I make a mistake? And sometimes we become paralyzed by that fear. Mark Zuckerberg, Facebook founder and CEO, noted the best bit of advice he ever received was this, and you probably heard something like it before. The biggest risk you can take is not taking any risks. Think about that for a minute. When facing our fears, listen for God's report. What is God saying? You can do it. We can take the land. God is with us. God has given us more than the negative report. Let me tell you a story, and I think I shared this one before. Many of you know, or some of you know, that 8-9 years ago, whenever I had the ruptured disc, I had a disc that ruptured in the very bottom part of my spine, and it was whatever ruptured pressed out and was out like this, laying on my sciatic nerve. And the pain got so bad at times, I was crawling to the bathroom and everything else. It was, you don't know all the details of that. It was just awful. They had me on Vicodin, and it barely touched the pain. And when the first thing they made me do, and Steve, you're going to know about this rigmarole that the insurance company puts them people through, I had to do physical therapy because they needed to make sure it wasn't inflammation causing everything. So I went through physical therapy, I don't know, like 90 some appointments or something like that. I don't know. That could have included after surgery. And that didn't make a difference. So the next thing was shots. They're going to give me shots in my spine because they wanted to make sure it wasn't inflammation again. It was not inflammation. Boy, I wanted to scream that so many times at them. Finally, they agreed to the surgery. And I thought, oh, finally, whew, I'm going to get this taken care of. Well, Jody and I were talking, and somehow I got on the, you know, I'm laying in the bed, I'm on Vicodin, I'm not doing much. Somehow I got here on Sundays and preached. But I started reading stories of people who had back surgery. And I read some of the most horror stories you could ever read in your life. And Jody came in and she goes, I can see the expression on her face. What are you doing? And I said, I'm reading about how these surgeries turned out horrible. She looked at me and she says, you get off of that stuff now. And she said, that's not going to happen to you. And I had my surgery. And thank God, I mean, when I woke up, there was no pain. I didn't even feel the incision that they put in me about this long. Because it wasn't anything close to what the pain I was in. That close. What if I would have decided not to have surgery? I would still be suffering to this day. I may not even be your pastor right now because of that. We may see risks, dangers, and hurdles, and they may appear closer, bigger, badder, and worse than they really are. And this is where faith comes in. This is where faith comes in. Faith is trust, a confidence that despite the giants, God will bring us through. The Israelites had a choice. Trust God and follow Joshua and Caleb's leading and direction, or allow their fears to paralyze them and keep them where they were. If we read further in Numbers, you find out the answer. They chose fear. Every day we have a choice to make. What are we going to choose? Are we going to choose fear? Or are we going to choose to trust in God? And sometimes when fear takes control, it's because we see things as worse than they really are. When Israel did this, and this is what really floored me and jumped out at me this week when I read this, God tells Moses that they are showing contempt, or they are spurning or dishonoring God by failing to trust him in this situation. And that's why faith is so important, even when it is difficult. I love the story where Jesus was going to heal a man when this man came up to him, but this man was brutally honest with Jesus and said, "Jesus, help my unbelief." And there are times when we will face difficult situations where we struggle and we can't trust God. Don't be afraid to say, "God, help my unbelief." Here's the thing I want you to hear this morning. God has brought us through so many things. We have stared down giants, and hopefully we are stronger and closer to God because of it. The push and pull of fear and faith, it's always there. And we have to choose faith in the midst of it. Amen. Next week, we're going to take a closer look at facing our fears and what God has to say about them. Okay. Well, let's just take a few moments then this morning and greet one another and share the blessing before we close out there with our little chorus this morning. You can go ahead and start playing there. Get done a little bit. Number 6, as we get ready to close out. We'll sing it through a couple times this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, let's join together for our benediction. People of God, go and speak God's blessing. May God guide us, Christ walk beside us, and the Spirit inspire us each day, now and always. Amen. There's your hymn.